Well, thank you. Thank you for all being here. I'm a little loud. Wow. I appreciate your time this afternoon. My name is Brian Keller. I'm a lead program manager on the Configuration Manager team. I'm joined by my esteemed colleague and friend, Craig Morris, who's a senior program manager on the Windows Intune team. It's an honor to be on stage with Craig again. We've been working together on and off for quite some time. But the real honor is to have you here today. We're going to be talking about client management scenarios in the Windows 8 timeframe. So the agenda for today is to talk about some trends we're seeing in client management in the Windows 8 timeframe, and then we're also going to talk about some solutions to these trends using Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. So traditionally, management was not easy in the past, but you traditionally had one user and one machine or desktop that you were working with. You wanted to make sure that desktop was ready for that user to be able to, you know, that it was secure and that they could have the apps that they needed in order to do their job. And so we see the world is actually changing. So a study, here comes the study, in 2011, power users owned between 5 and 7 internet-connected devices. Seems kind of crazy. But I'll actually tell you a little story, something that happened to me right before Memorial Day. So on Thursday before Memorial Day weekend, my wireless router went down in my house. It failed. And I did some troubleshooting and realized this is a hardware failure. I've had this thing for a couple years. It's time to get a new one. So the Thursday before Memorial Day, so I go on to Amazon. I'm going to order myself a new router. And I realize that with shipping and the holiday, it probably won't show up until Tuesday. I thought, well, I'm going to be without wireless here in the house. Maybe internet will be a problem. But, you know, we'll survive. I never had the internet before when I was younger.
Like it's food, right?
Right. I mean, come on. So I was sitting on my couch, and I started thinking about how my weekend was going to go. And then I started thinking about all the devices in my house that are wirelessly connected to that router. So I was thinking, okay, most important one is my wife's iPad. Without that, I'll be hearing about it. Won't be able to read her magazines, won't be able to do her email. So that's the first one. But, I'll talk to her. It'll be okay. And I thought, well, my phone, you know, is 3G, but when I come home, I like to connect to the wireless. Not going to be able to use that. Then I thought about my son's netbook that he uses to do all of his homework. All of his reading and everything is online, his reading materials, homework, things like that. So he's not going to be able to use his netbook. Then I thought about how my wireless printer wasn't going to work. Then I started thinking about the Blu-ray player and the TV, both connected wirelessly for streaming movies, the Xbox 360. Then I thought about my VoIP system, which is connected wirelessly to the router. So no telephone. Okay, I got a problem. I'm going to have to go out to my favorite electronics store right now and get a router because my whole family's going to go down. They won't be able to watch streamed movies. We won't be able to do homework. We won't be able to call anyone. It's terrible. So that when I saw this, I thought about that story and thought, it's really true. We have so many devices now. And I'm a simple guy. I don't have, you know, I have a modest place. And
I've said that quite a bit.
Yeah, you've been in my house.
You're a simple guy.
I'm a simple guy. But I have so many connected devices. So the world is really changing. Every device you have almost connects to the internet for some function, for some reason. And so users are having tons of different devices, laptops, desktops, mobile devices, tablets. So the world is changing, definitely, and I felt that a few weeks ago. 916 smart connected devices were shipped in 2011, and that is forecasted to double to 1.84 billion in 2016. So this is going to get worse or better, depending on who you are. So then here's an interesting statistic. I'm not sure what to make of this, but organizations say 34% of their employees are accessing business apps on personal devices. As 69% of employees say they're accessing business apps on personal devices. So maybe the truth is somewhere in between, although probably the end users have a better idea of the devices they're using to do work than the organizations do. And we want to change that. We want to help give you a look into these personal devices and be able to know what's out there and who's accessing what and when. So we're looking at a client management approach of the future that involves two different scenarios. So I'll explain these concepts. The first one is a control approach to management. The control approach to management is a very traditional approach. Probably many of you are doing that today, where you've got corporate devices, where you own those devices and you set all the rules and you set the policies. In addition, many of those devices are homogeneous systems, right? You standardize on a build, you standardize on apps, because the more standardized you are, the easier it is to manage. And of course, you're potentially pushing applications, patches, settings to those devices. Users aren't just going and willy-nilly installing apps on their systems. It makes it hard to manage that way. So you also have certain corporate standards. So you have devices, applications, configurations that you apply as standards to those devices, and so it also gives you that confidence. And you can protect the data, encrypted with BitLocker, you're doing patching, you're making sure you're at the right compliance level, and you got the right applications and their versions on the systems. So that's control. But there's also new scenarios now with these trends coming, and we call that governance approach, governance scenarios. So that's where you have a lot of personal devices, where the IT department or the company doesn't own those devices. The users own those devices. And they're heterogeneous systems. You can't standardize them. They're coming in with devices with all kinds of different operating systems, different form factors. Also, users are expecting to be able to install applications on those devices that they own themselves. They want to control for themselves what goes on those systems. And they want availability of apps. They're used to application stores, right? They want to go to a catalog and choose and install things. Now, you can put constraints on there, conditional access to the network, applications and data to protect yourself. That's perfectly part of the governance model. And you need to be able to protect the data that's on there that's corporate owned. Okay? So in looking at these examples, in the control side, think System Center Configuration Manager 2007. Right, so that's an excellent example of a product that provides all those controls, allows you to do operating system deployment and get devices to a standard desktop. It's homogeneous for you. That applies policies, deploys apps, reports compliance, and so forth. For governance, think ActiveSync, EAS. Right? You know about these devices. You can do some lightweight inventory. You can do some security policies around pins, and you can even wipe a device if you need to if there's data compromise happening there. However, along those lines, I was actually talking with a customer several years ago, and they said, you know, we can't use this wipe function. We got data on these devices, these personal devices, and we can't wipe. And I said, well, why can't you, you know, wipe the device? They said, because the user has Johnny's first birthday pictures on the device, and all the music that they downloaded and paid for, and all the movies, and all the personal information. If we wipe that device, we're facing a lawsuit. So we have to provide smart protection of data in the future that keeps the user's files and personal things safe from the corporate data. So in today's world, we have client management solutions, products that Microsoft offers. Config Manager 2007 had been out for some time. That was very controlled, corporate controlled, device-centric, right? Very homogeneous, Windows, okay? Now we have System Center 2012, where we introduce some governed scenarios, right? We have a self-service portal, which we call the application catalog. You can make software available to users. We recognize that users have multiple devices, so we're helping you push software to users and doing the right thing when it comes to those devices that they have. But there's still a lot of IT control, even though it's people-centric. And we have the Exchange Connector and Windows and some other platforms, mobile platforms. So we're taking a step in the right direction, but we're not quite there yet. But now you add on Windows Intune as an offering, and you've got that governed scenario. Personally controlled, people-centric, Windows and Exchange, ActiveSync, and also new mobile device opportunities for management there. One of the things I didn't mention that I wanted to mention on the previous slide was this control and governance, those aren't mutually exclusive, right? So you're not going to be, I'm a control shop, right? I'm an enterprise that does just control. Well, I'm an enterprise that does governance, right? You're going to have a mix of these scenarios in your environment, and you're going to be able need to deal with both of those. In addition, the same device and platform won't fall under just an individual approach. You might have a tablet that's Windows 8 that is personally owned. It's a great consumer device. I've seen them. And so the ability that customers are going to, your customers, your users, they're going to use the, they're going to buy those devices and bring them in, expect to do email and other things. And you may, though, purchase that same device, which is great for some business applications as far as being able to take them in the field. They're mobile, they're small, they're robust. So not only is your shop, your enterprise, not going to fall under one or the other, but devices are going to fall in those two different scenarios as well. So talking about Windows 8, it is for the enterprise. It's got great experiences. It's a device that users are really going to love, but there's also enterprise-grade solutions built in to the system and available. And so it's going to be a great business tablet. There's going to be new possibilities in productivity, great security, and then what Craig and I are talking about today, management of these devices and virtualization, which will help with data protection as well. So I'm going to actually dive into a little bit of product-specific information now based on Configuration Manager 2012 SP1, which will be coming out later. So I'm going to focus, though, on the IT-controlled scenarios that Config Manager 2012 SP1 will enable. I'll talk about operating system deployment, metered connections, user data and settings management, the Anywhere apps and data, so users, so that, and also Windows to Go. We'll do a little demo. But I'll go into each of these in detail. So as far as Configuration Manager, the next version that supports Windows 8, we're going to have all the classic existing management functionality. So software updates management, patching, right? Software distribution, inventory, being able to do settings, remote control into Windows 8, operating system deployment, and all of the other features that I could name off here for Configuration Manager. We're looking to have that full support for the Windows 8 platform. In addition, Windows 8 offers some new opportunities for management. And so I'm going to talk about those, the Windows to Go, metered connection support, user data and settings management, BitLocker improvements, how we would integrate Windows 8 apps and DeepLink apps into our software distribution system. So let's go into some details. I'll start with Windows 8 operating system deployment, OSD. So our goal here is to make sure that the same facilities, the same workflows, everything that you can do, the same scenarios that you have for existing operating systems, versions of Windows, Windows 7, for example, that those same workflows are available with Windows 8. Same day-to-day administrative flow. The only difference is that instead of WAKE, what is it, assessment? I can't remember what it stands for. But anyway, instead of WAKE, you're gonna need the Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit. It's a different tool that'll be required. But Windows, our operating system deployment will support additional functionality, which is Windows to Go, the use space BitLocker features, and the TPM plus PIN BitLocker. So we've got specific work we're doing to support that. I'm going to take these two at a time because they tend to go together. So for a core operating system deployment scenarios, you're going to be able to do fresh install of Windows 8 on any client or server, so it's bare metal. It could be new or repurposed hardware, and you can have bootable media that will allow you to get the new operating system on the machine. We also have Pixie Boot available. So you can control that deployment action with Configuration Manager deployments. You can push that, and then there's self-provisioning through F12 for your users. So that's kind of two similar scenarios there. Then the next two, wipe and load and side-by-side. So wipe and load is all about installing a new version of the operating system on an existing client. So what you do is you pull off applications and user state information. You go ahead and wipe and then load the new operating system and then securely put that user data and applications back on the system. And a similar thing is side-by-side. So you're installing a new version of the operating system on new hardware for your user, but you're taking the old machine they had and saving off that user state settings from the old computer and putting it on the new computer. Then we have what's called, this technique, the offline and removable media and pre-staged media could be used for wipe and load side-by-side as well. But essentially what you do is you have, say, an operating system deployment or image can be put on DVD, USB drive, CD set, whatever it is. This is where you would have low bandwidth or no connectivity to that machine, where everything is kind of packed in to that one WIM, and then you can image the system. So you would put large software packages on the media as well, because you don't want to have them downloaded over the network that might be slow or if it's non-existent. The downside is that there's no connection back to the Configuration Manager MP or the site, and so you're not going to get the status reporting on how it's going. There's a variant of that which is pre-stage media, where you can put a ton of stuff still in that DVD or USB drive, but there still is an expectation that there's some network connectivity there. So it speeds up deployment because a lot of the content is already there, but you still can pull the MP for policy and get any updates or any other things that you need to get down to that system. For example, if you want to query and get some variables for your task sequence, right? So you have some connectivity, but most of the media is sitting there pre-staged. So that initial staging gets done in the config manager environment, and then you can pull new things in later. So let's talk about Windows to Go as a new feature. The scenario is, essentially, you can put a Windows operating system on a portable device, like a USB device. So it's great for a contractor that's going to a site. They actually have their personal PC in their pocket on a USB drive. They can plug it in to a machine at the local job site, for example. It's great for bring your own device, where you want to kind of separate the business PC Windows from the user's PC. So it's also great for shared PC scenarios. I mentioned that. That's kind of the contractor thing. So essentially, you can build a Windows to Go image using Configuration Manager, create these, and then you can two ways you can provision them. One is you can push them to the removable device, or you can allow your end user to go ahead and go and pull that down and create that for themselves. So it's managed the same way you would manage a physical laptop or desktop. It's just considered a device that you're managing. The interesting thing, or the good thing, is very similar to how we did in 2012 improvements to VDI, where we can now do inventory on virtual machines and tell you whether or not something's a personal VM or a pooled VM, or whether or not what host it comes from, for example. So we have some additional inventory to specialize scenarios for you in your environment. Maybe for the VDI, the virtual machines, you don't want to look at patch compliance because you know they're pooled, they're coming up and going down, so you can kind of exclude those from your collections or your deployments for software updates, much the same way you might want to treat Windows to Go. And we'll have inventory information that this is a Windows to Go device. You'll be able to see that in your console and make some business decisions based on that. Maybe because these are removed and could be offline for a long time, you're going to exclude them from some compliance information when you're deploying software to a large rollout or something. So there's some various things you can do by knowing that it's a Windows to Go device. But other than that, it looks like a machine in your environment. So with that, I'll do a quick demo of how you would set up a Windows to Go image in your environment. So here's the admin console, ConfigMan 2012, early build of SP1. And the first thing I'll show you is I'll go to the task sequences. So I have a standard Windows 8 Enterprise task sequence. This task sequence has kind of all the things you might expect from an operating system deployment task sequence. We're capturing the settings for Windows settings, network settings, capturing user information, going to save it off. We're going to do the whole operating system installation actions. Then we're going to set up Windows, install applications, and then restore the user files and settings. So that's a pretty typical task sequence. So now that I have that, the other thing, what I need to do in order to create Windows to Go image is I have to create task sequence media. So I'm going to go ahead and click on that. And I talked about some of the different media types. This is going to be pre-staged media. So it's going to be pretty much everything in that WIM file, applications, and so forth. So it can be taken and installed on the device. So I'm going to go ahead and click Next, make it dynamic media. So this media will then contact the management point, get distribution point locations, make some decisions while it's creating that Windows to Go image. The next thing I need to do is create a media file. So you can see in this folder I have something called pre-staged WIM. If I actually go through this wizard and all the way, it'll take about 15 minutes. And I know we don't want to sit here for that. So there's no tomfoolery here. Okay, this is a pre-staged WIM that I created, several weeks ago.
This is a cooking show, right?
This is a cooking show, right? So
we're going to assemble one, and then you're going to say, and then 15 minutes later, here's the one
here's
that I already made.
Bring it out of the oven. Yes, exactly. So I will, but I need to create one for the sake of this wizard, so I'll just call it pre-staged.
Don't call it the same
two.
Thing.
I will not call it the same thing. Thank you. Thank you. Craig has bailed me out many a times in demos, so I'm glad he's here. All right, so I need to create a password for the protected media. I'll make a super secure password.
P-A-S-S.
Yeah, exactly. P-A-S-S. Then I need a certificate for HTTPS communications. So I'm going to go ahead and browse. Got a certificate here. I have to enter the password for the certificate. That one's more complicated. Click Next. Yes. Sure, I want to use that certificate. The next thing I need to do is select the task sequence that's going to be used. So I'm going to go ahead and select that task sequence for Windows 8 Enterprise that I showed you. And from the task sequence, it has discovered that I've got some applications and packages that are part of that task sequence that are made to be installed. So I've got Flash Player, got some other stuff here, some packages. It's obviously got the task sequence and the boot image. So I'm going to go ahead and click Next. Now what I need to do is I need to select a distribution point where the boot image will be retrieved from. This is a very simple demo environment. I just have one distribution point. And now I'm going to specify the management point as well. And there we go. Click Next. So here's where I select the operating system image. So that's the image package. And I'm going to select a distribution point where that's available. Click Next. Now this is an application, as I showed you earlier, that was found in the task sequence. You can actually add additional applications here outside of the initial creation of the task sequence that you would want to include in the pre-staged media. I'll just leave it as is. Same thing here with the packages. I'll leave as is. I'm not going to do any additional driver content. And then ultimately now it's asking me to select a distribution point for containing all the required content needed for the task sequence. I only have one here, so this isn't very exciting, but it does tell you that 5 of the 5 packages exist on this distribution point. If you had multiple distribution points in this list, some might say 5 of 5, some might say 3 of 5, 4 of 5, so you need to be smart about the distribution points that you pick out so that you make sure that you get all that content prepared in the WIM. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yep, that's the one. It's got all the packages I need. I'm going to go ahead and add that one. Here's where I could do some additional customizations around the task sequence variables. I'm not going to do anything there. I'm going to get to the summary, and then I dare not click Next. But if I were to click Next, it would create that WIM, pre-stage 2. Fortunately, I already have one. So I'll cancel out of that. The cooking show, it's coming in. I'm bringing it out of the oven.
You're bringing
but
it out
the raw
of the
stuff
oven.
Is sitting over here, unbaked. So that's how it works. So now I'm going to go in to show you what you would actually deploy to, and the scenario I'm going to go for is not the push scenario where I'm pushing the WIM and creating a Windows to Go image on a removable device. I'm going to do the self-provisioning scenario. So I'm a user. I know I need this Windows to Go thing. I've been told it's in our application catalog, so I'm going to go in there, find it, and get it installed.
So you're going to make it available to a user. The user can then say, hey, I want to create a Windows to Go stick. Away they go.
Absolutely, precisely. So in order to do that, I need to create a Windows to Go package and program. Now what this program is going to do, there's a creator tool that's used that references the WIM that can actually create the Windows to Go image on the device. So what I need to do is create a package program and deploy that out, make that available to my users so when they install, they're essentially running that tool and referencing the WIM. Let me show you the program, what that looks like. Properties. Here's the command line. So it references the Windows to Go tool, creator tool, and then the pointing at the pre-stage WIM. The content is essentially then the Windows to Go creator exe and the pre-stage WIM. That's going to be in your package. Okay, so then I would normally deploy that. I didn't want to click through the deployment wizard, so I actually created a deployment already, cooking show style, as Craig put it.
I'm not going to get you my deployment wizard?
I know. You did design that. It's nice. But it is lengthy. Craig likes to design long wizards, so we're not going to put you through that today. So I created a deployment to all users and made it available. You can see that several weeks ago, actually. So let me go ahead and show you what the end user experience is like. Let's get me to 6, if you could, sir.
What am I, Vanna White?
Now, I saw you fooling with the laptop over here, and the reason you were is that it looked like maybe it was going blank, but actually there's some kind of display issue, so I may have to get fancy and work the mouse. Well, at least I have some other displays to look at, but so far it looks good. So anyway, here is my new Windows PC that I'm going to carry around in my pocket with me, wherever I go. So this is going to be the removable media I'm going to use. I'm going to go ahead and plug that in to this client. And then what I'm going to do is, this is the application catalog right there. I think I can do this. This is the application catalog that ships with Configuration Manager 2012. It's a self-service portal, and it basically has a list of all the applications that you've made available to your end users for install. Things that they might be interested in going and finding. You can do searches based on keywords and titles and descriptions if I need to find software. One of the things you also can do is create these filtered categories. So I've created one called Windows to Go, which I can click on, and then hopefully it'll load up. Just take a second, because...
Which is probably not a bad idea, given that if you actually left it in the default application group, you know, some users may select all, go install.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. So here is the Windows to Go Creator package program made available to me. And when I click install, what's going to happen is it's going to launch that Windows to Go Creator. Yes, I want to proceed. It's going to retrieve the computer information. It's going to check policy really quick. And then it's going to hopefully launch the Windows to Go Creator. So preparing the install, done. We'll see that sucker launch. It's right here. And so you can see now that I can choose the drive I want to use for the Creator tool. This is the USB device that I plugged in a moment ago. And cooking show style. Okay, so if I were to click next here, it once again would take another 10 to 15 minutes to actually provision this USB. So I'm not going to do that. But hopefully that gave you some insight into how easy it is to create pre-stage media, use a package program to deploy out the Windows to Go Creator tool and do self-provisioning for your users, or push that out to your users as well so that they can create these Windows to Go devices and use them the way they're meant to be used.
Well, in this way, they can actually, instead of just creating their own Windows to Go, they can actually make sure they create the corporate standard Windows to Go.
Correct.
Image.
That's excellent. Excellent point. All right, we're heading back to the presentation. I have a few more things I want to talk about with regards to Configuration Manager SP1 and some of the new features we're going to support coming in Windows 8. So metered connection support. So we're seeing a trend where there's an increase of these very, you know, mobile devices that are connecting to various networks that sometimes are paid networks. And as I mentioned, these are particularly mobile end users. So one of the things that we have now in Windows 8 is that you can control traffic. And you can do that now through configuration manager policies. So you can say, hey, when I'm on a costed network or a network that's, you know, pay, essentially, don't download certain content, or throttle it down, or shut down downloading entirely. So this avoids that unpleasant, what we call bill shock, where you send out a bunch of apps and some software updates and some other things, and the user's on a paid network, and all of a sudden you get the bill, and wow, that costs a lot of money to download all that content, and so that's a problem. So you now can control that flow of traffic in Config Manager 2012 SP1 with Windows 8. So we've integrated also with the user data and settings management pieces of Windows 8, which is essentially the client-side caching, roaming user profiles, and folder redirection. So you can create policies for these for your end users, and then those policies will follow them on all the devices that they log into. And we'll apply those policies at logon. So wrapping it all up and putting it together, you've got this personalized, consistent experience, whether or not you're online or offline. And we can enable very many different scenarios with Config Manager and for your users on multiple different devices. And it provides that centralized management. So if you have Config Manager, let's say AppV5.0, the UEV, the folder redirection stuff, with the new app model in 2012, supporting the Windows 8 apps, and so forth, essentially when the user logs in with, say, their laptop, they get their user settings, they get their apps, they get the data they need to be productive. they come in with some other device. This one is also, say, BitLocker drive encrypted, so you feel secure about it. Once again, maybe it's a different form factor. They get the settings, the apps, and the data they need. And then they come in with a device that maybe isn't BitLocker encrypted, and you have some security concerns, then you can use VDI or RDS to get the same user settings, data, and apps that your users need to do their jobs. So this is a solution we have. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand over to Craig, and he's going to talk about that governance approach and personally controlled devices. Here you go, Craig.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. So just to kind of reiterate what Brian was talking about, you know, for those of you that were here in the previous session, we talk about making sure, you know, always putting the user at the center, but making sure that they can have their applications and their data, and making sure it's available to them on whatever device they're on and wherever they're at. As we move into this brave new world that we're going into, where the devices themselves are not necessarily owned by the corporation, they can be, but they may not be, we need to start thinking about a different way of managing them. You know, certainly it's a lot easier when they are corporate devices to say, you will do this, and this will be configured this way. When they are personal devices, you don't have that luxury. So it's really about making sure that as an IT administrator and as an enterprise, you can actually say, here are the requirements I have if you want to be able to access my corporate data, my corporate applications with these devices. Here's a set of standards I expect you to comply with as far as security, as far as encryption, before you can actually do so. So it's really around setting those base level settings and making sure that you're compliant with them before the end user is able to get in. So we talked about IT control, so now we're going to switch focus to the personally controlled devices. When we say personally controlled, they may be corporate owned, they may also be personally owned as well, but personally controlled is around being enabling the user to make the right decisions around how that device is used and how it's managed. We also want to talk about modern applications, so we'll get into talking about the Metro-style apps or the Win8-style apps. We also want to talk about some of the consumer Windows devices. Obviously, being where we are with this conference, it's been very important. We make sure we cover that. And we also want to just touch on, you know, it's not just about the Microsoft devices coming in. It's also about these heterogeneous mobile devices. So we're going to kind of cover that brave new world that's coming, or actually it's here, and we're continuing trying to manage.
Correct.
All right, so user-centric software distribution. You know, it's really about making sure that wherever the user is, whatever device they're on, they can get their applications. They're going to be highly mobile. There's lots of devices. There's lots of applications. Those applications take many forms, whether they're an HTML5, whether they're an AppVapp, an MSI, an EXE.
There's a lot.
There's others. Yeah. So making sure that, you know, we provide the right experience for that end user on that device as well. You know, it's no use if they're on a laptop. You're saying, okay, well, I'll just deliver the MSI to them. But they're on a slow network. So how do I can provide the best experience for that user in that situation where he's right there at the moment, right? So we want to make sure right app at the right time. I mean, it's, you know, we started saying this 3 or 4 years ago, you know, it's really about user X getting app Y, and that's really what we're trying to do, right? They want the apps, and associated with the apps are useless if they don't have the data, so it's really about user X getting app Y and the data that goes
Definitely.
Along with
and
it.
Traditionally, you'd have to figure out what devices that user was assigned to, mm-hmm. and then deploy your policy settings or apps to those devices, and then the user would log in and try to use them. But like you were saying, in this new world, it's a lot different.
Yep.
So users right there at the
center. As you see, we move the user up, we move the devices down. So, you know, as we said in 2007, before 2007, it was really about knowing which devices you needed to put that software on and then targeting those devices. Today, it's about knowing what the user is and then knowing what devices are associated with that user. So Windows 8 apps, or what is also called Metro-style apps, right? So one of the things you want to do in the client management space is these are new apps. They're just another...
DT.
For those of you that have been in Configuration Manager for a while, they're just another deployment type. But in client management, that's what they are, right? They're just another way of installing an application to a user. So we want to make sure that regardless of what machine they're on, they're able to get these applications as well. Right? They can run on x86, they can run on ARM. They're inherently more secure because they're kind of in that bubble by themselves. they're not going to necessarily interact with other applications in the operating system as well, so that they're a little bit more stable. And they're also faster and easier to deploy. Obviously, they're smaller. There's some requirements around how big those applications are. And it's really about being able to deploy those applications either sideloading from a line of business application or from the Microsoft Store as well. As I said, you know, it's a new object, but really it's just a different way of installing a similar sort of functionality. It's the same deployment process. Our administrators already know how to deploy applications. They don't need another way to deploy another type of installation. Do it the same way. And then we want to make sure, this, again, the end user knows how to install that application. Really, they don't even care necessarily. They have a device. They want an application. They don't want to know whether it's a Metro-style app or it's an MSI or it's AppV or whatever. They have a device. They want the app, right? The system itself should be clever enough to work out how's the best way to provide that application. Deep link apps. So as we're talking about, we want to make sure that for those applications that are in the marketplace or the stores and whatever else other manufacturers come up with, we can always make sure we can provide those vendor-based or corporate-based applications as easy as possible. Again, the administrator goes through the same process to deploy them, the user goes through the same process or the same locations to do the installations. Windows RT client management. Okay, so there's a couple of scenarios that kind of jump out with these devices, and I think you know we've probably pretty much heard and talked about them quite a lot this week. But it's really about bringing your own device to work, and that may be bringing it actually physically to work or connecting to work from that device. But there's also some specialized cases. I know working the booth this week, I've talked to a lot of customers about there's some real specialized area uses where they would actually look at using these devices for retail, for example, for the airlines. There's a bunch of different applications that they're looking to use these devices. So we need to make sure that when we build a solution in the client management space that it can cater for both, as Brian was talking about, corporately owned and privately owned devices of this nature. Right? We want to focus on two things. We want to focus on making sure the applications and data are there on those devices, making sure they're configured in a way that their data and applications are secure. Right? So those are the two main things we want to focus on. But they also introduce some new challenges, right? They're always connected, right? So we don't necessarily always want to make sure we're pushing out that software to those devices when they're on metered connections, for example. So we spend a lot of time on trying to make sure that they're not going to cause a large expense to the individual user who may have their own 3G cellular exactly. Account, as well as cost to the organization. So user-centric for end users, I think Brian's demonstrated the self-service portal for Configuration Manager. Those that were there here for the session before this on Windows Intune, we've kind of looked at the self-service portal for the cloud-based client solution. The user wants to be able to manage their devices, right? They're going to be buying devices. They're going to be, passing those on to their kids. Their kids are actually going to take them over anyway, whether you pass them on or not. So you want to make sure you're managing the devices that you're installing these applications.
And if your password isn't strong enough, then your kids are going to go and buy a bunch of apps and buy all kinds of things, and then you're going to get a bill. And, yeah, I've been there.
That's not happened, right?
It's happened.
All right, so we want to make sure that the user can manage which devices are associated with them and empower them to actually manage that relationship. We also have a self-service portal. We want to make sure the user can easily find those applications. We want to make sure there's filtering, there's searches, there's categorization, a number of different ways that they can go and easily find those applications. Our customers, the end users, already have experience on how to shop, right? So we've got to make sure that these self-service portals are consistent with their expectations around how do they shop for things online, right? But one of the key things is we want to make sure that those devices are still secure. So being able to install and interact with an agent on those devices without requiring elevation of administrative privileges is a key thing. And once again, sometimes things don't go according to plan. They want to make sure we can also contact IT support. All right, so I'm going to preface this demo with some caveats. So what I have here is a Windows 8 tablet. It's running the release client. and on it, and I'm actually looking at the self-service portal for Windows Intune. Windows Intune, the version that released on Monday, doesn't officially support Windows 8. Obviously, when Windows 8 RTMs, we will be supporting it. But you know, it works for the most part. We, you know, obviously we're testing it as we go, and we want to make sure that it's fully, you know, at the quality you would expect from Microsoft before we say we officially support it. That said, we can actually look at, this is the self-service portal for Intune. As you'll notice from, if you're in the previous session, the colors have changed to red. They're, by default, they were blue. I made that change in the previous session. Again, I'm using my fingers to navigate. I can see this is my Windows Intune account. As you can see, we have some things we need to tidy up before we ship. This is an XP device at the moment.
Yes,
you like that? But we can do that, and then we can actually go and install applications. Right, so here's my applications. You'll see that in this case, it's actually telling me that I've already installed this application on my Windows 7 virtual machine. For those of you that were here earlier, I had to reboot the machine to make sure it got installed. You can see now that that is actually installed on that machine. I'm actually going to install this also on this device. Well, I tried it last time and it didn't work, so we might as well try it again on a brand new device.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. All right, so it's now downloading that software. It's doing that installation. I didn't pre-bake this.
Yeah.
Yep, look at that.
Pretty fast.
All right. And if I go look at my applications that are installed, we'll see that Adobe Reader is now installed on this device. And I go for the button. All right, so that was the self-service portal, you know, that we're currently shipping with the current version. When we think about how we would do this in like a Windows 8 timeframe and a Metro style, this is some of the very, very early, so you may take a photo of this, but there's no guarantee that this will ever look like anything like this. But this is some of the early thinking of some of our designers at Microsoft have thought about how would we make a self-service portal, you know, a little bit more user-centric as far as being able to find the applications that are specific to them. As you can see, top 10 financial applications. That would be important if I was in the finance department. You know, again, these are targeted at the user. So I'm probably going to see the top 10 sales ones if I was in sales, for example. Or maybe I could see applications that were recommended by my peers, for example, the top 10 downloaded by my peers. So this is some of the early exploration we're doing around how do we really empower the user to make the right selection around the right applications they need and the ones that their peers are actually using as well. And then just to wrap this up, you know, obviously we're not going to be completely Windows-centric around this. We obviously want to make sure we consider the other devices that are around. We want to make sure that, you know, we're able to manage them. If you look at Configuration Manager today and Windows Intune, they're able to manage these through the Exchange Active Sync connector. You know, we're able to do the device inventory. We're able to manage the device association so we can target a user for a piece of software and they can make it available to that mobile device. I actually, in the previous session, did installation into an iPad. We can manage those mobile security policies. Obviously, there are some considerations you might want to think about with those security policies, such as wiping, you know, your kid's first birthday. But, you know, we do allow you as an administrator to have that capability.
And we also allow
the user to do it, right? So in the self-service portal, I probably glossed over this a little bit, but the things I did want to point out is when I go to a mobile device, the user does have the ability to trigger a remote wipe. So when they do, if they do lose it, they can do that themselves rather than actually having the administrator do it. Okay.
I was going to say one of the alternatives to wipe is obviously VDI and virtualization and being able to access corporate resources through those types of sessions on those personal devices. Mm-hmm. And I was going to mention also with the EAS, the policies, you can actually manage those through the Configuration Manager console with the Exchange connector, so the password and PIN requirements, being able to wipe and so forth is all managed.
And then you can target them, you know, for Config Manager or for Windows Intune, you can target them at a specific group of users. So you don't have to necessarily have one policy for all your users in your environment. They're specifically targeted through groups.
Absolutely.
All right, so in closing, There is still lots to work for us to do as far as client management is concerned. We've definitely made sure that we're thinking about specifically about Windows 8 and how we can work better together. We spent a lot of time with the Windows 8 development team. If you look at the user device settings, right, we spent a lot of time with them making sure that we have the capabilities of actually managing the data and the profiles that are in that configuration space. And then, we're actually, as a team, we've actually merged both the product groups and engineering teams have merged together. So this Config Manager and Windows Intune are working very closely together to make sure that for an enterprise customer, we have the right solution in the right configuration, whether that's on-prem or in a cloud solution.
Yep. I mean, we're going after some of these things coming in Windows 8 timeframe, but we're also looking to the future, as Craig mentioned. Lots of work to do, and we're excited to be moving forward with you on that journey. So with that, we have some additional time for questions. Would you like to come up and ask some questions at the microphone, and we can do our best to answer them for you?
Question. Will Windows RT be supported by Config Manager without EAS?
That I can't answer, actually.
Yes. Okay.
I would love to answer that. In fact, I got a text about 30 minutes before this saying, you cannot answer that specific question. I'm not kidding. I could show you. It's on the... I was like, can I talk about SP1? Yeah, just, you cannot talk. So I cannot answer that question, unfortunately.
Any other questions we can answer? Go to the mic. Just so they record them, so when you... It depends. I mean, the Windows 8 tablets, depending on whether you're talking about Windows RT or you're talking about an x86 tablet, the x86 tablets can run those MSIs and those ESCs you've already got, right? So you could deploy those applications to those devices, right? The
separate type of coding
it could be. So I can specifically speak to Configuration Manager and SP1, the types of software that we're going to be able to deploy, all the traditional software that you have today that runs on Windows 8, you can deploy using the application model and the different deployment types that we have, MSI, AppV, script installers, just our basic installer. And then in addition, the work we've done with the Windows team for Windows 8 is that you'll have two additional deployment types. One is the Windows 8 apps, which are those Metro-style apps that you could deploy using our application model. The second one is a deep link application. I think Craig mentioned it in a few slides, but the deep link app is essentially you're creating an application deployment type that references an app that's in a store. And so in that case, the user can go to their catalog, their application catalog, say install, and it will take them out to the store and they can get the app that way. So there's two ways to deploy the Windows 8 application.
And another question I have is about the corporate licensing for Windows 8 clients. Will that be considered as two separate licenses for if user has desktop and device, how will that work?
I honestly don't know the licensing model for Windows 8. I don't know if there's any Microsoft folks here that could speak to that, but I don't know the licensing model. Sorry. Thank you. Other questions?
So I believe there are some scenarios where Windows Intune will complement SCCM. So let's say a corporate enterprise, they have SCCM 2012, SP1. They are managing clients over the internet using SCCM and mobile devices. But in the event that, there is some other scenario where they got to use Windows Intune to complement SCCM, if you could tell me if there are some scenarios like that where only Windows Intune could accomplish some tasks. And if that's the case, can this organization consolidate the databases from SCCM and the Windows Intune so they can get reports, complete reports, the entire picture of their clients?
Yeah. So those scenarios definitely do exist. As we're speaking to both the customers that we interact on a fairly regular basis in our TAP programs, both for Configuration Manager and Windows Intune, we've definitely got a lot of feedback around those scenarios do existing, are existing, do existing, either one.
You're from New Zealand.
I'm
from
New Zealand.
Right,
that Queen's English thing screwing me up again. They definitely do exist. As far as how we are going to work out how that's going to be managed, I mean, we definitely know those scenarios do exist, and that's kind of all we can comment on at this point. Take that, take away from that as you will. Let me put it that way. I mean, we know we have a lot of customers. We know that that scenario exists, right?
Yeah, there are cases where, you know, offloading infrastructure to the cloud, obviously lots of cases where that's a huge benefit. The internet-facing capabilities of Windows Intune. So there's definitely some scenarios where you'd want to do that. And obviously, you're always looking for a single pane of glass and rolled-up compliance, and we recognize that. So that's something that definitely we're exploring. Those scenarios are well known to us. But as far as specific plans, we can't speak to that right now.
There's a lot, you know, one of the big scenarios is around those users that very rarely actually connect to the corporate network, right? So they may be using corporate applications, you know, either through a VPN connection, but they're not necessarily always connecting to those locations. You want to make sure that when they do connect to that VPN connection, or they're actually accessing corporate applications, even not going through the corporate network, that they're in a secure fashion, especially when they're going to get email, or they're going to get attachments. Right, you've got corporate data that's on a device that's not within the corporate boundary of your network. So those are different devices. You want to make sure that, you know, they've got anti-malware in place. They've got the latest Microsoft updates. They've got the additional third-party updates that they need to make sure they're secure. So there's a bunch of different scenarios around that. It really comes down to connectivity and also ease of use. I mean, a lot of smaller locations will have an internet connection. They may not have a frame relay or VPN connection back to the corporate infrastructure. So they may have managed those devices. The other scenario is around contractors and things like that. When they're coming in temporarily, you may not necessarily want to assign them a full client onto that device. You may want to be actually also able to manage them as they roam from location to location. So there's a bunch of scenarios where, you know, we're definitely talking to a lot of customers around what those scenarios are. There's a lot of crossover scenarios as well. Think about it. If you can, you know, try to do an install of an application where you're starting to do that installation and then you do roam to a corporate environment, right? So you were on the internet, you didn't have a corporate connectivity, you start installing the application, and then you go visit this corporate location, you want to continue that installation. Well, wouldn't it be great if Windows Intune, for example, could use the distribution points of Config Manager? Right? So there's a whole host of scenarios that we're going through as far as how things could work between the two products and, you know, what makes sense in one and what makes sense in the other and how they come together. So it's definitely an area of interest and a lot of discussion going on back in Redmond.
You had showed a sideloading of an application on an iPad
in
a previous presentation. You did that from iTunes. Can you do that from Config Manager?
No. Not today.
You did it from Intune, not iTunes. Sorry, too many tunes.
I glossed over that Freudian slip.
I know you did.
That's actually a functionality that's unique to Windows Intune at this point.
Yes, we can't do that kind of depth management on those platforms. We do have the Exchange Active Sync, the connector, so you can do some of those lighter management scenarios on those devices using Configuration Manager, but we don't have the software distribution capabilities and things like that.
And can you do it for Android as well?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Can you do it for Android as well?
Yes, for Windows Intune, you can do it for Android.
Okay.
Yes.
But not for Config Manager yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. That's, I like to hear that.
All right. If there's no further questions, you're free to go. Otherwise, we'll be hanging around for a little while.
Really appreciate
we do actually have to catch a flight, so not
really appreciate your time.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks
people.
Very much. Appreciate it.